The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, we started a four-week preaching series entitled The Power of Vision. You might remember that back in during the season of Advent, we did that series on encountering God, what it means to enter into an encounter. But just like the Magi, who had that journey towards Bethlehem, where they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, an encounter that elicited from them true worship, an act of homage, where they literally fell to their knees in homage to the newborn king, the Christ child, we know that that experience didn't subsist in itself. We struggle with the what now, what next. You might remember last week we spoke about, as a parish, we worked at formulating a purpose statement. Why is that? What are we here for? What's the most important thing that we could not do without? And remember, it was just a very simple phrase. Our purpose is to form disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel. But the next question, of course, is how? Once one has had an encounter with Christ, what is next? And we talked a little bit about the vision statement that I and the parish staff and members of our pastoral council really prayed over, worked over, and tried not to just make it a list of words, but it's a little bit more pointed, a little bit more demanding. Sometimes people say, "Well, the church is guilty of telling me how to live my life." Well, if you want evidence that that's true, today's going to be that. Because this vision statement really is a guide, a roadmap for us to live our lives towards the path of being true disciples of Jesus Christ. People who embrace lives of holiness, of virtue, of being basically icons of Jesus present in our world. So you might recall, and you can follow this in the bulletin, I encourage you to meditate over it. Our vision statement reads, "St. John the Evangelist is a vibrant Catholic community that brings people to Christ, forms disciples, and sends them forth to transform the world." And the question is, how do we do that? And it goes on. Every member faithfully commits to worship God, which we talked about last week, serve others, form friendships. We'll talk about those two today. Mature in faith, grow in holiness, share one's gifts, and proclaim the gospel. It's a big to-do list, isn't it? But each of them focuses on a dimension of our life that if we're living and striving to be the people, the Christians that God has called us to be, the local community of the church, the body of Christ, that we believe God is calling us to be. Each of us needs to make those commitments, to make them part of our lives. Last week we talked about worshiping God, what it means to respond to that encounter, to come, to give all that we have over to Him. And sometimes it's just simple things of making sure that we're putting our all into it. Sometimes just the basic things. Getting to Mass early, to have a little bit of time to welcome, to pray, to prepare ourselves, even if it's something as simple as reading the gospel beforehand so that that's not the first time that we hear that scripture. That we resist the temptation to make the dash to the parking lot after communion, but rather to be able to spend time in giving thanks. Not just giving God the bare minimum, but recognizing that God wants to give us the whole thing. And we need to respond likewise. But then today, we're going to talk about what it means to serve others and to form friendships. Now, if you look at the first reading from Isaiah, he tells us in so many words that we are hardwired to lives of service. Jesus, the Messiah, came not as a king in the conventional sense. He didn't mount a throne or hold a royal scepter or wear a crown on his head. But rather, the model he gave us, the prototype, is one of service. Jesus, the one who literally got down on his hands and knees and washed feet, who went where many people would not even think of going, reaching out to the poor, those who were outside of the realm of acceptance in his day, many who were listed or labeled as unworthy, as sinners. Jesus went to them and called them back, showing us what it means to be servants. And so what's that mean for us today? Certainly our worship is important, but we can't say that this does it all. Putting in our hour, or even if we have great lives of prayer, where we're praying each day and being in the Lord's presence and making holy hours or doing devotions, that's not going to we can't let our faith subsist there. Something has to grow forth from that. And it's that attitude, that mimicking, that modeling lives of service that Jesus did first for us. You know, I look around our parish and I'm just astounded at some of the many responses here. Still pales in comparison when I look at the numbers that we have just in terms of worshipers. But the number of people who come together, just over the Christmas holiday, we hosted Winter Relief here. 35 or so people who were homeless each evening stayed in our school auditorium. Over 100 volunteers in this community provide meals, provided entertainment, provided some basic health care, provided some hygienic supplies, provided a presence to the folks who were our guests that week. That was huge. And I remember someone coming up to me, you know, two stories. One was from a volunteer. And the person came up and said, "You know, Father, I always had a picture of what a homeless person looks like. And that picture was kind of like someone that you'd see in a median strip going into the city who'd be begging or panhandling. Or someone that you might see walking on your way into one of the sports stadiums looking for some kind of charity. And the picture was usually one of clothes that were ragged." So that's not all that I saw. Sometimes the face of the homeless are simply people who are still working two jobs, and it's not enough to get by and pay rent or utilities or come up with a security deposit. Some were well educated and just down on their luck. There's no one face to what it means to be homeless. And it doesn't just mean that someone is lazy or derelict in their duties. Yes, sometimes struggling with issues of addiction or perhaps mental health issues. The other was another individual who was one of our clients. I spoke with him on a number of occasions, and I remember him saying that he had such a great week, that he felt so welcomed, that this was like one of the best sites he'd been to. And he says, "Father, you haven't seen the last of me." Well, the rest of the story was, he came to Mass that weekend, you know, with some of our volunteers who welcomed him in. The collection basket was passed. It came by him. He reached into his pocket and put in the collection every bit of money he had in his pocket. He wanted to give something back because he felt that he'd received so much in the course of that week. We have volunteers over in our St. Vincent de Paul Society 3 days a week helping clients with food, much of it donated right here by our own parishioners, helping financially those who are looking at eviction notices or cutoff notices. We have people who routinely volunteer at serving at Our Daily Bread in the kitchen or waiting the tables. Our Daily Bread is a soup kitchen and then so much more. Sarah's House volunteers with our school who help out there. Every other year, our school participates in the dragon boat races with Catholic Charities, but intentionally adopts a senior center and invites those folks to come down for various activities as their guests at our school, recognizing that we can't live on the island of St. John the Evangelist, that we need to constantly be reaching out and calling in. I really encourage you to look for that way that you can connect in service. And here's the beauty of it. Many of those folks who serve together form bonds of friendship because they know when someone's not there. Serving with them, whether it is visiting the hospital, the nursing home, someone who's homebound, these are real, true connections that strengthen the connections among those who volunteer, as well as forge connections with those being served, often who give much more to us than we could ever expect to give to them. Sosthenes is mentioned in the second reading. You don't see him mentioned too much in the New Testament, but Sosthenes was a convert to Christianity through the preaching of St. Paul. They formed a relationship, a friendship. And if you read the gospel today, the baptism of Jesus is mentioned by John the Baptist. If you look at that, that's the first time where really explicitly we see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as a relationship. The Father's Spirit coming upon the Son, crying out, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The doctrine of the Trinity reminds us of the interconnectedness that we have, not just with God, but God living as a Trinity of persons reminds us how we are connected one to another. Well, Paul was connected to Sosthenes, giving us a model of faithful, Christian, holy friendship. We all need that in our lives. Someone, some group, some way that we are connected. Building one another up, challenging one another to grow, building up the body of Christ one individual at a time. I know in my own life there are people where I look to as my mentors, who are good friends who call me on, who can challenge me when I'm stumbling, when I'm falling, when I'm deluding myself. And then there's people that are in my life who I'm a mentor to, who I do the same thing for. We need those people in our lives who call us and challenge us to greatness, not mediocrity in our faith, in our lives as Christians. That was an example that Sosthenes had there in his relationship with Paul. And far be it from he to be the only one. Paul mentored Timothy, the young bishop, who didn't know what he'd gotten into. He had others that he accompanied. John Mark, who's mentioned several times in Scripture, who had been written off because of his immaturity. He had abandoned him once and is called back and became an effective evangelist and apostle. So what's it mean to have holy friendships? A lot of it, I think, when I look at our community, at the avenues that are there, it's really about plugging in. John Paul II spoke of the parish as being a community of communities. You look and say, just in terms of the number of worshipers we have, that's consistently well over a couple thousand. How do you get to know several thousand people intimately? You don't. But you get not to develop cliques, but certainly places of support and mutual support and challenge to help each other grow. You know, every week in our Walking with Purpose, we have a couple of hundred women who come on Wednesdays and Thursdays. But it's not that they come together as a mob. I don't know that those 200 women could say, we know everybody intimately. But they break into smaller groups of 6 or 8 or 10. A senior Bible study that meets every other week doing the same thing, gathering together to support each other. And yeah, they study, but there's relationships that are forged there. Now, That Man Is You has about 60 men who come together. Again, they form smaller groups, support each other, challenge each other, learn. And, you know, you have other groups. I mean, they're legion in this community. But, you know, groups that call us to lives of discipleship, the Catholic Daughters, the Knights of Columbus, the various prayer groups and so forth. You read the bulletin. They're listed there almost every single week. What's it mean we find our place to where we're going to be challenged and where we can challenge each other to holiness, to greatness, to be the people God's called us to be, not just as we are? I really believe that's our challenge, to keep growing and forging those friendships. You know, at the beginning of Mass each week, before we even start, we take a moment to find that prayer partner. You know, I know for some people that can be uncomfortable. And this may surprise you. I really am an introvert. And I know you think, no, he's not. But you put me in a room where I don't know a soul. And internally, I just want to explode. It's like my head's going to just go into confetti. I was at one of those not long ago. Didn't know, and I was like saying, God, please, bring a familiar face into this room. Because you feel kind of alone. And it's when you have that familiar face, but sometimes that familiar face isn't there. But once you come and week after week, you see a person, you put a name to the face, and you might not know everything about them. You don't have to. You take that, 30 seconds, you get the name, and all of a sudden, you know, that's John, or that's Mary. And they know that one person in this community today is praying for them. You don't seem so alone then. We all have that responsibility for welcome. Otherwise, our worship is somewhat incomplete. Because God calls us together not just as a group of several thousand individuals, but one family of faith. We can't be lone rangers. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? I know that's a dated example, isn't it? But even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even Batman had Robin. We all need community to challenge us and to strengthen us. What does the scripture tell us? Iron sharpens iron. And as we make that connection, we get sharper. Hopefully we get holier. Maybe we get challenged a little bit. But somehow we get closer to God. We don't do it alone. We do it together. But the thing is, if this vision becomes something more than words on paper, ideas in our heads, it's only going to happen when you, every one of you, and me, make a commitment to being the vision, to doing the vision, to becoming the vision. Because indeed, there's power in that vision to not just form us, but to transform us. To not just make a difference in the lives of people that are here, but in this community where we find ourselves planted. So let our worship, like the wise men, not just be left there where we drop our gifts, but where we're called to our knees, but then when we go forth to serve and to connect in those friendships that build us up. Amen.